Really looking forward to this. You might have some questions for our next guest, Dr. Sarah Dan, and she's written a book called So Smile. Sarah is an orthodontist, and she's got a practice here in Adelaide and also in Sydney, and she's decided after many, many years of fielding questions, it was time to write a book. Hello, Sarah.
Hi, David. Thank you for having me on your show, and I appreciate your interest.
Thank you for coming on. Now, why would an orthodontist, and in a moment you'll have to explain to me what's the difference between an orthodontist and a dentist, but why would an orthodontist want to write a book?
Yeah, that's a good question. And my husband thought I was crazy, but really I wrote the book because first and foremost I want every patient, every orthodontic patient, to get the best out of their orthodontic treatment, which doesn't always happen. And after being in orthodontics for over a decade now, I realised that a lot of patients make the same mistakes, a lot of patients have the same questions, and they're patients in my clinic, but also sometimes just other parents at school when I drop my girls off or at social functions. And those mistakes are often made not because the patient doesn't have the best intention, but really because they're just not well informed. And often they're just simple things they can make changes to, such as when do you take your child to the orthodontist, or that you don't need a referral, and those kind of things. And so I've just made a book to answer those questions so that people can get a better outcome.
Right. So, because you can spend thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars on your kid's teeth. So the idea is, well, there's a need here for a book. Why not spend $25 buying a book before you spend all the thousands of dollars? Because when you spend that money is, or whether you need to spend it at all, is a crucial question.
Correct.
Okay. Now, you might have a question for Dr. Sarah Dan, author of So Smile. Give us a call, 1-300-222-891. And the SMS line is 0467-922-891. Okay, what's the difference between an orthodontist and a dentist?
Okay, yeah, that's one of the things that a lot of people don't understand, and that's covered in my book. But basically, a dentist is someone who has done a dental degree and studied for 4 or 5 years full time, and then can do all sorts of parts of dentistry, such as fillings and checkups and, you know, root canal or some simple extractions, while an orthodontist has done the 5 years of a dental degree but then has done another 3 years of a postgraduate doctorate degree in orthodontics. So it's another 3 years of full-time study, and then they have to limit their practice to only orthodontics. So you can't then do fillings or other things, which means that you really become an expert in that field.
And what is that field that you've become an expert in? Because you're not doing the run-of-the-mill stuff of extractions and fillings.
No. So we don't do any of that. We just do braces or Invisalign or straightening teeth with clear plastic aligners, doing things like aligning jaws and teeth and bites rather than the simple dentistry concepts.
Why can't you do the lot? It just seems like something out of the old middle-aged guilds. Oh, you can't do this because you're now an orthodontist. Why can't you do the lot?
Yeah, that's a good point. Because firstly, with our registration, once you're registered as a specialist, that's what you're restricted to do. But also, you do become very specialised in your field. So not practising the other areas means that you probably don't have the exposure to it, so that you should probably concentrate on what you're actually really good at.
Right. You could end up making a mistake because you're not doing it every day.
Yeah, so we're not doing it every day.
Okay. Still, there might be potential there for reform if you could pass a test and show, well, actually, I do a few fillings. I have done a few extractions. I've got those skills up to date. Allow me to keep my dentistry license as well as orthodontics. But that's probably for another day.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, I'll be 55 this year. When I was a kid, there was occasionally somebody in the class who had braces, but it was pretty rare. Now, everybody's got braces.
No. It's actually funny you say that because I had the same thing. I went to the orthodontist when I was a child with my mum, and my mum took me at 11 and I said I didn't want braces, and she said, that's fine, don't worry about it. And now, the other day I had a girl in, and it happens all the time, and she was 11 too, and I said to her, you know, you don't actually need braces. Your teeth are pretty good. Your jaws are in well alignment, and it all looks really good. And she started crying. So it's completely different now. But I think now it's also, we go by the philosophy of trying to maintain our teeth for life. So orthodontics plays into that by having a good bite, preserving your teeth and making them easier to clean. So it's more than just the cosmetics of it.
Why was she crying?
I think because all her friends were having braces, and it is quite trendy nowadays. And yeah, that's what she wanted. And it really is. People come in and they want that perfect smile.
Are our standards for teeth now ridiculously high? You know, our mums and dads didn't have perfect teeth. I haven't got perfect teeth. Are our standards too high? Our expectations? Everybody wants to look like a movie star.
I think that's a good question. And in some cases, yes, I agree. I think they're too high. Sometimes I get sort of, you know, girls in their early 20s and they come in and they say, you know, I take photos, selfies of myself and this tooth sticks out and I don't like it. And that's a very big problem in their life. And at that point, you know, you kind of go, oh, are your priorities quite there? But in other cases, nowadays, as I said, we really maintain our teeth for life. So when we have orthodontics, we often have it as adults to have it as an adjunctive treatment so that we can restore certain teeth or that we can not wear down our teeth. So it's a functional thing. So our standards have definitely increased and it's a part of health. But on the other spectrum, we've also become very focused on image, which, yeah, I don't necessarily agree with 100%.
So I wonder if that child needs a psychologist, not an orthodontist.
Potentially.
Yeah, that little tooth that's just a little out, it's what makes you.
Exactly.
You don't have to be perfect.
No.
Because you're not, by the way.
No.
So you might as well get used to it.
I agree. I agree. So I think there's a whole spectrum of need and want.
Have we got too many dentists?
Look, that's another good question, and I think that definitely has changed over time. I remember when I first graduated from dental school, there were jobs everywhere and all my friends really got a job. But now there's so many dental schools around the country and there's thousands more graduating every year. So that there is actually an oversupply of dentists for the need in the whole country.
And that's, well, the two things spring to mind. One is, but hang on, we know that there's a crying need for dentistry, low-cost dentistry. Mm-hmm. So there are people with really severe mouth problems and they need the dentist. And yet we haven't got enough work for the dentists who are coming out of universities. There's a disconnect there.
Can you explain that? It's a little bit about supply in the major cities is available, but rurally it's not as much because people don't want to go rural. But then also, I guess it depends. Some people feel that they can't afford to go, so they don't go. But there's definitely thousands more graduating now than there were in 2008, for example.
In a moment, we'll go to Joe. He's calling from the Barossa Valley, and Steve from Oakland Park. Our phone lines are there for you to use, 1-300-222-891. If you've got a question for our guest, Dr. Sarah Dan. She's author of So Smile, A Guide to Straightening Up the Confusion, Concern and Catastrophes Around Orthodontic Treatment. The idea, folks, is that before you go out and spend $1 million on your kid's mouth, you might want to spend a few dollars on a book to get your head around the various issues. Getting back to this business, though, of not enough work for the dentistry graduates, does that have another effect on the business model? Because all of a sudden, the dentists, in order to cover their costs and earn a good living, because it's cost them a fortune to get the degree, they're becoming more entrepreneurial and they're selling stuff that maybe we don't even need.
Yeah, look, that's sort of beyond what my scope really is because I tend to concentrate more on orthodontics. So.
Well, maybe the orthodontists are selling stuff we don't need.
Yeah,
there'd be pressure on you to be offering all sorts of products.
So I think sometimes that's where sort of the book addresses a certain aspect of that where people think that when orthodontists say, and the major Australian, British, American orthodontic societies all say, that you should bring your child at the age of 7 or 8 for an initial assessment as sort of a preventive, interceptive course of care, that orthodontists are trying to sell more orthodontics, and that's why we're saying come early. But that's actually not the case, and it's covered in the book in the sense that when you bring your child at that age, you really have the opportunity to utilise some of their natural growth and development to prevent bigger things from occurring. And therefore, in the long run, you have less tooth extractions, less complex treatment like surgery and things like that, and you have better outcomes for less cost. So I guess sometimes, yeah, people think, oh, that's just orthodontists trying to drum up business. But it really is not.
Really, truly, it is not. Joe from Greenock in the Barossa Valley. Hello, Joe.
Good morning. Good morning, Sarah, and listeners out there and in the surrounds of Adelaide and South Australia. My question to you with the increasing in cost of, you know, power and interest rates and everything, and orthodontics is very expensive, as was explained. Was there would you be up for trading some dental work with some very good Barossa Shiraz?
I'm up for that. Let's look into that. But with cost, that's a good question, actually, and I cover that in the book as well. I always say orthodontics is an investment, much like some wines, right, where if you see it as an investment in sort of the confidence and the benefits that people get from having a beautiful smile, then that cost seems quite manageable. And a lot of people also don't understand how practices make it affordable with low deposit, interest-free payment plans over, you know, 36 months or longer, just so that people can benefit from the health benefits of that.
Well, that's interesting you say that. Thanks for your call, Joe, because we've got a text here from a listener says, David, I wish I could afford to get my teeth fixed. Do they do payment plans? I'm so depressed about them, and every day I think about ending my time because of the pain and the stigma. I can't smile even when I'm happy. I mean, that's really sad, isn't it?
It is, and you know what? It's patients like this that make my job so rewarding, because I see people like that and we can truly help them. And that's another barrier that people put in front of them when they think, oh,
can we put that person in touch with you when we finish?
Yeah, of course.
All right. If that listener wants to give us their number, and we'll put you in touch with Dr. Sarah Dan. Because that's the sort of work you'd get the biggest buzz from.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, that's why I do what I do, because I can see the transformation in patients and how they come in. They're often quite shy, or they don't like to smile with their teeth, and then they're even anxious about what treatment they might have. But then once they start and they get to know people in the practice and they go through treatment, we just see them transform. And it's just an amazing thing to watch, and I feel such a privilege when I get to treat people and make that small difference in their life.
Okay, well, if that listener, we'll just take your number down. It's on the text line, and Michaela's seen it, and we'll put you in touch with Dr. Sarah Dan. Steve has called from Oaklands Park. Hello, Steve.
G'day, David. G'day, Doctor.
Hi.
Look, I don't know whether this is right directing it to you, Doctor, but why on earth do we still have fluoride in water, in our drinking water, and it doesn't seem to be any better than it was 50 years ago? The lines at the dentist, or the pain in kids' mouths, it just, what does it do?
Well, Steve, thank you for your call. I got to say, I reckon fluoride in the water saved my mouth.
Fluoride in the water definitely has reduced the decay rate in the population. So we get a lot of patients who don't need fillings nowadays anymore due to the fact that we have fluoride in the water. However, what has changed is that we do consume a lot of refined sugars and carbohydrates and things like that, and soft drinks, which then increase the decay rate again. Yeah. So if we didn't have that, combined with the diet that we now have, we would probably have a much higher decay rate than we do today. And then you have all sorts of dental issues down the track.
Thanks for your call, Steve. Robin from Parowa. Hello, Robin.
Hi, Hello. Now, do or can children from disadvantaged backgrounds have bands? I don't mean, oh, yes, we can create a payment plan like the one-off text just a moment ago. I mean, as a general rule, can they or do they have bands?
Yeah, of course they can. I always say that anyone can have braces or Invisalign treatment.
What's Invisalign?
Invisalign is clear plastic aligners that can straighten teeth, and it's becoming very popular. In fact, in my practice, we're a Blue Diamond Invisalign provider now, where we are in the top 1% globally for providing Invisalign to patients. So it's now a very well recognized treatment, and patients from disadvantaged families, if you're referring to their oral health, or are you, is that sort of your question?
Well, my question is, can children from children who haven't got parents who are all very well off at all, can they have braces on their children's teeth, or is it only people who can afford it?
So how are they going to get the money to pay for this if you're poor?
So
we get families and patients from all walks of life, and we really try and be as accommodating as possible in the fact that sometimes it's a low deposit, such as $50, and then they pay that off over, you know, extended period of time, and it's always interest free. And we really, because for me, it's not about the money, it's about actually helping people and making sure that everyone has access to orthodontic treatment. And that's actually one of the barriers that people put up. They go, oh, I can't afford it, but they just don't know that how affordable it can be. Yes, it is. And people just think, oh, I have to come up with $6,000 tomorrow because I'm going to my appointment.
Yeah.
But that's not at all how it is.
I remember with my son, Josh won't mind me saying this, he was in his early teens. He just did his 30th birthday. But we took him along to the dentist, the orthodontist, and they said, oh, your son, He needs braces. And if you don't have braces, this is what his mouth is going to look like in 5-10 years' time. I swear, I thought it was a still from Lord of the Rings, one of those orcs, you know, with that is what you are facing unless you hand over $10,000 today, Mr. Bevan, to fix your child's mouth.
Yes.
Which, of course, we did because it scared the... I don't know that Josh is... he's got perfect teeth now. Mm-hmm. It can be scary. There's a lot of pressure.
Yes, I agree. And that's why I tried to write this book, to actually make it less scary. And I want people to be informed that there are ways to have orthodontic treatment and the value in it, and how affordable it can be and how easy it can be nowadays. A lot of people, they live on past memories of how it was when they were growing up, and then they transfer that to today, and it's very different.
If you do it right, if you do it at the right time and you get what you need and no more, you could save yourself a fortune.
Exactly. So that's what this whole thing is about, early interceptive preventive orthodontics, much like dentistry, where you go to your dentist every 6 to 12 months to prevent a root canal, to prevent tooth extractions. If you do preventive orthodontics, you can have simple things which might cost very little money, prevent you having thousands of dollars worth of treatment later on, or having a tooth extracted that you wouldn't need otherwise. So it's actually going to save you time, money, all those things which nowadays everyone's short of.
I can't remember when I last went to the dentist. It might have been 15 years ago.
Oh, David. You're sharing this on radio.
I spent all my money on my kid.
Oh, don't we all?
Natalie from Golden Grove. Hello, Natalie.
Oh, hello.
Hello, Natalie. Nothing wrong with my teeth.
Hi,
Natalie.
Hi.
What's your story?
Dr. Dan, I just wanted to know, I've got a 7-year-old, and I was actually talking about this with the school mums yesterday at pickup. And my dentist has said that she'll eventually need braces. Her teeth are all over the place. But should I...
Is that because they need to buy a Maserati? So...
Your child
is going to need braces and a lot of work.
Well, that's the thing. Like, it was the dentist that said it, and I, you know, some of the mums were saying, oh, you shouldn't take them until they've got all their milk teeth are lost and they've got their adult teeth. And then others were saying that they'd taken them early. And I thought, did you say before I should maybe bring her in when she's 8?
Yeah, between 7 and 8 is when the major orthodontic associations recommend you bring your child. And this
okay.
is this kind of conversation that you've just described is very common, and I face the same sort of thing. And when I wrote the book, I actually asked about 250 people or my patients what they thought of early interceptive treatment, and they said, most of them said, yeah, we were told that we should come when all our baby teeth have fallen out.
Yeah.
But that's actually sort of the older style of thinking, and it's actually incorrect. So nowadays, if you bring your child at the age of 7 or 8 years of age, what we do is we do a general assessment, we do a facial analysis, have a look at their teeth and bite,
okay.
and then you can go on and just, we can monitor them if nothing is required,
mm-hmm.
or you still have all the opportunity to use their natural facial growth and tooth development to actually influence things and improve the situation for future need of treatment. So it reduces your treatment time, it reduces the amount of extractions we do. We used to, in orthodontics, extract in about 60 to 70% of people, which means adult tooth extraction, and they often had 4 teeth out, while now it's less than 5%.
Mm.
So this is all to do with this early interceptive preventive philosophy.
Mm.
And a lot of people don't know, and so you get a lot of judgment if you do bring your child in and they
yes.
do have treatment. Then people go, oh, why are you having it early? Isn't it too early? The teeth are going to move. That's just not incorrect.
Okay. All right, now before you leave, Ruth asks, should you give a kid a dummy, a baby?
Okay.
A dummy's good?
Look, I tried to give my children a dummy because I just thought anything will work. And they spat it out. Yeah, I was just like, anything. But, you know, a dummy is fine as long as you cease the use of it by about 2 or 3, you know. There's no long-term disadvantage if you do stop it. But if you're still using it when adult teeth come through, that's a problem.
That's a big problem. Sarah, thanks for coming in.
Thank you, David. Thanks
been
for having me.
Well, I'm sure you will be getting a call next time we have an orthodontics question.
Yeah, if anyone has any questions,
feel
free to get in touch or go to my website, drsarahdan.com
and.au,
and yeah, come by.
And we'll pass our listener on to you about maybe some work, which is generous of you. Thank you very much. Dr. Sarah Dan, author of So Smile, that's this week's book of the week, A Guide to Straightening Up the Confusion, Concern and Catastrophes Around Orthodontic Treatment. Dr. Sarah Dan.